Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can we talk something else? Can we talk about something else?
Hello. Out there. I wasn't sure if I was going to cover the dark topic of Kelsey Grammer. You know, Frasier. It didn't seem like something that would fit my style. The title, Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs, was something that I couldn't get out of my head, though many cases crossed my mind, literally, through my reading and research, and I kept trying to convince myself that the Frasier case, the idea I had him making it dark topic-esque, shouldn't make the cut. It's probably going to suck, I thought. And people are going to think it sucks before I even say hello out there. I mean, who gives a shit about the dark side of a beloved and uber-successful actor's life? This isn't Oprah or Inside Edition. We don't do celebrity hardship cases on Dark Topic. We do murder and rape, SA, and sometimes we do shark-eyed monsters. But wait, this story of Mr. Kelsey Grammer's, what has made up the dark side of his life, includes all of what I just said. Plus, I like Kelsey Grammer. I know he's got skeletons, and I'll shake those out in a minute, but I'm drawn to the man. I always have been. There's such an extremely obvious depth to him that it's almost shallow. So I figured I'd dig just a bit and see if I could create an episode from this unlikely source. And I quickly received a sign that this was right. When a book about his murdered sister was announced, written by Kelsey Grammer himself, to come out this May of 2025. He just finished the book. I had no idea it was even in the works. While I was researching, I stumbled across the Grammer tragedies by a strange method of case finding I have, basically picking random dates. And you know me, I'm a sucker for this sort of thing, when it feels like it's meant to be. I'm a sucker for this sort of thing as I am for a catchy tune. Welcome to Dark Topic. I'm your host, Jack Luna. This is a true crime happening. Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. In case you didn't know, Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs refers to the theme song for Frasier, a nod to the sitcom that revolves around a call-in radio show that puts Dr. Frasier Crane, Kelsey Grammer, in the hot seat to help Seattle residents with their issues. Tossed salads means to be mixed up. You know, the nature of the caller is being mixed up. They're all tossed salads. Scrambled eggs, the same idea, mixed up. Whether that be the situation or the person. Frasier don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Anyways, it turns out that the trials and tribulations of Kelsey Grammer's real life influenced his role as a barfly in Cheers and a psychiatrist in Frasier, maybe even the maniacal sideshow Bob of The Simpsons. And like I've been trying to sell you for the last 10 minutes or so, I think it's all dark topic worthy. I know, I'm surprised, as you are, and really hoping that I don't end up with scrambled eggs all over my face here on this episode. To start, I think I should bang out some of the controversy of Kelsey Grammer's life, get it out of the way so that we can focus on the tragedy of it, Yeah, he's had four wives. Yeah, he did claim that his one ex, Camille, a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star, was pathetic and smelled like beef jerky. Nice. He was a cheater and has refused a relationship with some of his many kids. He's had a lot of tragedy when it comes to having kids, three miscarriages. It's possibly true that he was taking advantage of one of his alive children's babysitters, an underage girl, 15 years old, who came forward at the age of 17, claiming that she thought that Kelsey Grammer, when he was 40 years old, was her boyfriend and that they were in love, but didn't get the gravity of the situation until she grew up a little. And I can believe that girl. I can also believe Grammer. His story, the one where he says that the girl's family was out for his money. The one a judge believed in, I think it was 1995. But who knows if star power and lawyers tipped the scales there. Though Grammer was never convicted in this controversy, Reddit seems to think that he should be canceled and strung up, flogged. The babysitter thing bothers them less than the fact that Grammer was an early supporter of Donald Trump. I have a sophisticated interaction on Reddit to share here between article scanning, confirmation bias seeking Redditors here. So, American Prophecy says, quote, "Ugh, I'm done. His third wife was with him for over a decade and seems to think he did it. He's also a supporter of Trump." And then big-haired aristocrat of Reddit replies, "Oh, thank you for sharing. I had no idea he was such a POS." So, if I was a huge pandering pussy, I might have stopped here, seeing that there's some blowback on Reddit by, you know, the altruistic, perfect types of Reddit. But thankfully, I'm not a pandering pussy, so we still get to do the episode. Quick aside, does it bother anyone else that these people on Reddit who act so outraged about issues of morality aren't actually all that concerned with the truth and are clearly more into virtue signaling so as to feel superior to others behind their little clever fucking avatars and names? Like, I tried to make that as pretentious sounding as I could right there. Grammer is quite pretentious, Kelsey Grammer, and he's funny as well. He once had a Twitter hashtag going of Kelsey Grammer Grammer, where he just corrected grammatical errors on social media, an enormous undertaking, by the way. He's a strange guy. And like I said, I've always liked him. I know a lot of us have. And I'll admit, he makes me suspicious at times of who he truly is, but I think that has to do with him being an actor, but it also has to do with him being, like all of us, being made of many things. Kelsey Grammer is a moderate Republican, something that's apparently quite controversial in Hollywood. That's to say, he's not afraid to go against the grain. He once compared abortions to gun deaths, saying if the fetuses of abortions were shot rather than aborted in the traditional manners, if they were shot, then there would finally be anti-abortion rhetoric from the left. And yikes. He's also shown that he's not afraid to break the law. He was charged for drunk driving multiple times in his Cheers days, spending time in prison for it after crashing his Dodge Viper. Cocaine was involved. He loved the stuff, but knew it was out to kill him, so he gave up cocaine eventually, I think. And what else? God, I hope this isn't boring for you all. I mean, I'm really excited about this. I worked a long, long time on this, 3 days straight. I couldn't get enough of this Kelsey Grammer story. I wanted to shake it, wanted to let it go, but it kept on just coming back into my life. I kept on hearing that song. And I don't know what to do about those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Yeah, they kept on calling me again. I don't think it's going to be boring. With my work here, I'm starting to think I actually have a future as an online gossip girly. And I'm excited about that as well. Grammer had been struck by lightning riding his motorcycle on a cross-country journey to his first acting gig. A moment he thought of as an omen of his acting career about to take off, and of course it did. You don't hear much about that, and that's because Kelsey Grammer was very grounded. By the bike's rubber tires. He worked two jobs and slept in a New York park for weeks. while attending the famed performing arts school, Juilliard. Once rich, he lost much in multiple divorces, as mentioned. He also fell victim to a Ponzi scheme. I think he lost $1 million. But really, the Frasier star was fine, making over $1 million an episode and being flown to the set by helicopter to avoid traffic in his time. Kelsey Grammer hasn't been a regular guy for a very long time, so it's hard to relate to him. But I try. Still, he wasn't immune to stress. He's lost 3 children to miscarriages over his life. One a twin to his surviving daughter, who Kelsey calls his brave little boy, his beautiful little boy. Kelsey believes that his son died for his sister, something Kelsey wishes himself he could have done for his own sister, Karen. But that's a story for a little later. Much later in life, he had a heart attack after going underwater in Hawaii near a home he owns there. And while underwater, he was walking around on the ocean floor. I think this was in 2008. And he was carrying a rock down there to hold him down. And it was part of an exercise routine that he was into, which almost ended in his death because he had a heart attack down there. And that would have been a great way to go. But it seems, at least by Grammer, a man of God these days, that there's more for him in life to be done. He opened a brewery. Kind of a power move for a recovering alcoholic. He drinks a couple of beers a day. Liquor, he says, was his actual problem. Grammer is just over it, which I like. He's over a lot of things. He says he's disconnected from a lot of the pain in his life, like short-circuiting, you know, like taking a cable and cutting it with a pair of scissors, just disconnects from the pain these days. And I like that. I like the idea that someday, after all the bullshit, all the pain, one can maybe just get past it all. Cut the cord. Untangle themselves from it. Think it all neat and bare and flat on the floor of your past. Achieve the state of over it. There is so much to unpack here. I'm trying. There's just too much to unpack here. So I'm throwing a lot of this laundry out the window like one of Kelsey's scorned ex-wives. Though, I think I, for one, am ready to move on right now. Grammer is intensely charming and admits that he cares more for the attention of the masses than for the attention of individuals, and that he is much to blame for his failed relationship history. But I'd say some of his tragic family history could be blamed as well. Born February 21st, 1955, and would you look at that, he turns 70 tomorrow, an omen. Kelsey Grammer's childhood began in St. Thomas, the U.S. Virgin Islands, where his father, Frank Grammer, had carved out a life as a musician, music store owner, and a publisher of a popular local magazine called the Virgin Islands View, which he often uses to promote his personal views at that time on what he deemed local insanities, giving him a reputation as a whitewasher to the island's indigenous inhabitants. At the age of 2, Kelsey was taken from the island by his mother following a divorce from his father. Kelsey Grammer would grow up in New Jersey, then Florida as a result. His father, Frank, went on to have another family on the island, though Kelsey stayed in touch. Kelsey Grammer was raised by his grandparents mostly and was really close with his grandpa, Gordon. But Grandpa Gordon would die of cancer suddenly when Kelsey was just 12, leaving the boy devastated. Then, at age 13, he lost his remaining father figure, his dad. April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated. And that's not his dad, by the way. I hate the way that I led into that. But this leads to the story, okay? Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated by escaped convict James Earl Ray. At least that's the official story. MLK was standing on the second floor balcony of his Memphis, Tennessee motel room just after 6 p.m., the day after his "I've been to the mountaintop" speech, when he was shot from the window of a neighboring rooming house and killed, apparently with a bullet from a hunting rifle, but later found to be from a high-powered rifle that shattered his jaw, then ripped through his neck, causing mortal damage. There wasn't a thorough autopsy. And I'm not here to break down the MLK assassination, but let's just say it pissed a lot of people off at the time. including a man named Arthur Beavan Niles, who was known as an anti-white islander and taxi driver of the Virgin Islands, whom in the days and weeks following the MLK assassination went on a terror spree, painting anti-white slogans on his cab, slogans like "kill the white pigs," and attempting to burn the vehicles and homes of some white residents of the island. Also, he placed a bomb at the St. Thomas Office Telephone Company, which was a dud. But finally, during this terror spree, on April the 24th of 1968, 3 weeks after the MLK assassination, Niles found a target and victim that satisfied his rage: Frank Grammer, father to Kelsey Grammer. He was seen as a colonizer and white devil with his fancy little music store and whitewashing magazines. So Frank Grammer was lured from his home by Niles in the middle of the night by way of Niles lighting Grammer's car on fire. When Frank Grammer exited his home, he was shot dead by Arthur Beavan Niles, who then tried to run Grammer over with his vehicle, but friends dragged Kelsey Grammer's assassinated father from the scene before any further desecration of his corpse could occur. Niles, back in 2015, had this to say at a bail hearing, quote, "Just keep me in jail, man, where I can be safe, man, and you can be safe. Or put me in the gas chamber, man. I do not deserve to live because I have killed people and I'm not sorry for what I did," end quote. It's no mistake that later, Frazier's brother Niles would have the same name as his father's killer. Kelsey Grammer, Dr. Frazier Crane, is a big believer in exposure therapy. Kelsey Grammer stayed close with his remaining family, especially his younger sister Karen, whom he loved dearly and felt enormously protective of. But you can't always be there for those you love. At the end of the day, no matter what, we're all up for grabs. It was the end of the day for Colorado Springs Red Lobster employee Karen Grammer. She was 18 years old and would stay that way. The date was July 1st of 1975. Karen Grammer was waiting for her boyfriend's shift to wrap up when a group of black men came bursting into the restaurant. That's from the newspapers of the time, that detail, and from eyewitness accounts. It doesn't bother me either way, the color of the men, but I guess they stood out at this Colorado Springs restaurant. I should mention, the news used to report the skin color of people for identification purposes, which is pretty far out these days. I know. Super far out. What doesn't bother me at all that they don't do that anymore. What does bother me is that these men, they tried to rob the place, and when they realized they couldn't get the job done because there was no money in the tills, they had already banked that, put it in the safe. They then left the Red Lobster and saw Karen Grammer waiting for her boyfriend outside, and they kidnapped her. They dragged her into their green 1975 vehicle, of which I couldn't find the type of. And then they took her with them as they robbed a convenience store. And then they brought Karen back to their apartment and gang raped her. Yes, they were a gang. They considered themselves a gang. Then Karen had a towel wrapped over her eyes and was promised she'd be released after a quick drive. She instead was taken to a trailer park where she was let go. Her glasses had been taken from her. It should be mentioned that she had really thick glasses. She needed them to see. And she was pushed out the door without her glasses. It's dark. And she's told she can go. But then she was grabbed by the hair. Her throat was slit. And she was stabbed a bunch of times in the back. She tried to fend some of these stabs off, which was apparent by her later defensive wounds on her hands. Karen was then left there by the gang of gentlemen. And she incredibly was able to fight for her life. She was covered in blood, and she crawled to the door of a neighboring trailer home for help. The homeowner wasn't there, but returned later in the early wee hours to find Karen dead at his back door. She had left bloody handprints all over the exterior door, and on the doorknob, she was inches away, it seemed, by the trails of her fingers, her bloody fingertips from hitting the doorbell, but nobody was home anyways. She was laying face up on the steps When she was found, her eyes were open but unseeing. Her throat was slashed. In another incredible celebrity twist, famed homicide hunter Joe Kenda was 2 years into his career in Colorado Springs where this happened. It was not called to the scene, I should mention, but he would later remark on how close Karen had come to getting inside the trailer. His take was that due to Karen's extensive injuries, had a surgeon been living in that trailer and set up with a table and life-saving instruments, Karen Grammer still would have perished. That's how bad this was. There are initially few clues other than some tire tracks and a gold-colored key in the pocket of the young deceased woman. Rosetta Stone, everybody. Rosetta Stone is a leading language learning program available on desktop and mobile designed to fully immerse you in your chosen language for a more natural and effective learning experience. I use Rosetta Stone, and my favorite aspect of Rosetta Stone is how you can learn faster, retain longer. Rosetta Stone immerses you in your new language naturally. It helps you think and communicate with confidence. There's no English translation, so you truly learn how to speak, listen, and think in your chosen language. They have an intuitive learning process. You start with words, you build to phrases, and you progress to full sentences. And it's designed for long-term retention, so what you learn sticks with you. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Dark Topic listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Investigators do not yet know at the time the identity of Karen Grammer. There was a young man on a bike that was squeaking loudly in the trailer park that night. He pedals past the scene in the wee hours while cops are looking for him, and he comes right back. They hear the squeaking of this bike coming back and this young Italian man that they're looking for. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing out here? My God, there's the guy. He's looked into and he's found to have a warrant out for an assault involving a knife. So he's brought in, he's arrested on the outstanding warrant, and he's highly suspected of committing this crime. But eventually this young man is found to have an alibi that would absolve him of the odd trailer park murder. He'd been out getting beer, and everyone had seen him going to do this. He had no blood on him, he had no weapon, and that was it. He was just wrong place, wrong time, although he did go to prison for his outstanding warrant for a knife attack. Another man had been seen covered in blood that night, and he was tracked down. It turns out he required a cane and fell that night, hitting his head, and blood had spilled all over him. So you got this zombie walking around without his cane, covered in blood in the middle of the night, and you have this kid on the squeaky bike with an assault charge with a knife being creepy in this trailer park neighborhood as well. And you have a dead girl laying there throughout this whole time with her throat slashed and stabs in her back. This guy who was walking around with blood all over him without his cane, he too is soon cleared. Investigators can't believe this shit, but that's a trailer park for you. Eventually, Karen's roommate calls her in as missing. Karen is in Colorado Springs. She's kind of out there on her own. Her family's not around her. Kelsey Grammer's not around her. She's kind of gone off to do her own thing. And I'll explain some of that later. Actually, Kelsey himself will explain it. And it's discovered that the gold-colored key that was found in the Jane Doe at the time's pocket fits the roommate's apartment door. Finally, they know who the victim is. Karen Grammer, 18 years old. Not yet to be known as the sister of an unknown actor at the time, Kelsey Grammer. Incredibly, the attempted robbery of the Red Lobster and the kidnapping of Karen Grammer had not been reported, but employees remembered the would-be robbers and probable kidnappers were dressed in military garb. And what the fuck? You gotta be asking this. What the fuck is going on here? Why did they not report this? it seems everyone at the Red Lobster just let this all go because they were afraid of retribution. They were afraid that if they said something, these guys would find out and they come back and they kill them. They were just scared kids. And her boyfriend apparently didn't really understand that his girl, Karen, was waiting outside. It should be said that none really understood that Karen had gone missing following the event. It had happened fast, and she'd been outside waiting for her boyfriend. But still, what the fuck? You know, the 70s, man. The men responsible are eventually tracked down. Through an arrest in New Orleans, eventually, of one of the men involved, Larry Dunn. And Dunn wants out of his current trouble involving another murder out there in New Orleans. In exchange for immunity and the trouble he's in out there, he's willing to give up information on three killings in Colorado Springs in 1975. Dunn shares he'd been involved in the murder spree that is unsolved currently out there, and it's not even connected at this time. There was a murder spree that happened that he was involved in, he says, with two fellow soldiers of the base at Fort Carson. Freddie Glenn is one of the men named, and he takes the fall, or at least that's what he'll later claim in letters to Kelsey. He says the rat who gained immunity, Dunn, is the true killer. But by that point, Dunn had died in New Orleans later on. Freddie Glenn seems to ask Kelsey for help in these letters that I read, and he kind of is asking for money, too. That's the way I'm seeing it. And Kelsey Grammer has never forgiven this accused. He needs, Kelsey does, to hear true remorse and accountability, of which there has been none. Larry Dunn, in New Orleans, claimed that the plan had been to drop Karen off in the alley of a desolate trailer park, but that his compadre, Freddie Glenn, had taken Karen's glasses, which she needed to see anything at all, then told her to get out of the car before getting out and saying, I'm going to finish this bitch because she's seen us. And he tells her to tilt her head back and slashes her throat expertly, the coroner says, to slice the carotid artery. And then he stabs her a bunch of times in the back. And Karen tries to fight him off. She hits the ground. The three men take off, leaving Karen to drag herself to the back steps of that trailer where she was later discovered. Freddie Glenn, which I don't have a whole lot of information on, and his accomplice, who I have even less on, Michael Corbett. A couple of mean-looking mothers who were stationed at Colorado Military Base Fort Carson on military duty claimed to be caught up in some gang shit with Dunn and weren't entirely responsible for the crime spree that ended with Karen Grammer's brutal rape and murder. Here's how it all started. It all started on June 19th of 1975, when a group of soldiers, Dunn, Corbett, and Glenn, got together and decided to do some gangster shit. The first victim was Daniel Van Lone, a cook at a Four Seasons hotel, who was grabbed by the group while headed to his car after work in the night. They kidnapped him, drove him out to the woods, made him lie on his stomach, wrapped a towel around his face, and shot him in the temple. It's not clear which one of these perpetrators shot him in the head. They're kind of all in it. It's all mixed up, but it was an execution. And really, this was a thrill killing. The gang got 50 cents, they say 2/4, for their trouble. But we're excited over the incident. And little over a week later, they arranged to meet up with a fellow soldier at Prospect Lake in Colorado Springs to do another murder. The group told 19-year-old Winfred Prophet that they could get him some weed if he met them at this scheduled area. Michael Corbett, one of the perpetrators, he's a real scary-looking dude, and probably the one who did a lot of damage to Kelsey Grammer's sister, by Kelsey's estimation. He's said to have had a bayonet and wanted to kill someone with it, so he did. Young soldier Winfred Prophet, he died by the water. Not an unusual way for a soldier to go, by the water, by bayonet, if the year weren't 1975. Freddie Glenn was pinned for the Karen Grammer slaying. He claimed to have been high on LSD, as the other men were as well, and he was foggy in the night's events. It's not clear who did what, all that went down. Death was the sentence for each perpetrator. They all pointed at one another, so the judge pointed them all to the gas chamber. Each was handed a piece of the blame for the kill spree. Freddie Glenn got the Grammer case, And the other guys, they got a piece of the other murders and they just pinned everything on everybody except for Dunn, because Dunn had made that deal, right? But the other two men, Glenn and Corbett, they were fucked. And it seemed all would end with death, except for this rat bitch Dunn, until Colorado abolished the death penalty. And the men had their sentences, their death sentences, commuted to life, which meant they would eventually get parole hearings. Mercifully, two died. Dunn died, and so did Corbett. But Freddie Glenn, who has been pinned for the Karen Grammer murder, haunts her brother Kelsey to this day. Kelsey is forced to show up for his sister every few years. Here is Kelsey Grammer, Frazier, speaking via video conference at a parole hearing, and he's speaking directly to his sister's killer. It's a very interesting listen.
I want to believe that you actually have changed your life. And I want to believe that you could even find a way to become a useful, productive citizen, flourish. The things you say, I accept a lot of them. And I even stand in a way in admiration that you have found a way to, you know, survive in prison and become a model prisoner. Let me talk about my sister for a second. Karen and I used to go to school together. And then in her junior year, she decided she wanted to go to another school because she was kind of in my shadow, because, you know, I was a pretty big deal back in high school. And so she went to another private school across town, basically. And then as she got there, they put her in the senior class because she was that smart. She graduated at the head of her class. She was, you know, the kid that gave the big speech at the end of it. Her future was bright. She went to college for about a half a semester, and then she decided to go to Colorado Springs because she had a boy that she liked. She was a terrific kid. She was a wonderful, wonderful person. I miss her all the time. And I accept that you actually live with remorse every day of your life, but I live with tragedy every day of mine. And Mr. Glenn, you couldn't have come to a better person in the world than me to try to advocate for somebody who's made some bad choices. I just want to ask you why you didn't actually ever try to get in touch with me. If you're serious about this,
I know.
If you're serious about it, you know, I mean, I could have helped
you. Mr. Grammer, I have tried to contact you, but in the penitentiary, I don't have access to a lot of the electronic ways to get in touch with you. My family has tried to get in touch with you.
And maybe he seems a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But he's got you pegged. Ha. Huh. Yeah, quite right. Kelsey Grammer would watch his mother receive the grisly news of his sister's death over the phone back then in 1975. Of his experience, he would later say, "I have never seen a person walk around a house that way. It was devastating. That was my sister, but that was my mother's little girl." When Kelsey Grammer called his granddad on his father's side, his remaining grandfather, back at the Virgin Islands, he told him the news of Karen's death, and the old man whispered to himself over the phone, "This family is cursed." He may have been right. Kelsey Grammer and his granddad would soon communicate again. This time it would be Granddad Grammer's turn to share some incredibly bad news. On June the 1st of 1980, two of Grammer's half-brothers, who had been raised in the Virgin Islands, Stephen and Billy, were scuba diving off the shores of St. Thomas when Billy got snatched by a shark and was pulled under. Stephen desperately dove to find Billy, but couldn't. He apparently went so deep in his desperate search for his brother that he suffered a fatal embolism during an improper ascent. Billy was never recovered and is thought to have been consumed by a shark. Stephen died in the water and was later recovered on the rocks. And good God, is there anything else? Quickly, I'll say on that matter, Niles's wife, the maid, and Frazier, somebody in her family was involved with Jaws 2, the production of Jaws 2. And Kelsey Grammer to this day has always been suspicious of there being a cover-up in this entire case of his brothers, Billy being eaten by the shark and Stephen going to get him, the being some kind of cover-up because people wanted to douse the idea of sharks being dangerous after Jaws 1. There's a lot of mess there. There's a lot of mess in all of this. But the connection to Daphne and her family being involved in the production of Jaws 2 is incredible as well. Okay, so anything else I asked? And yeah, one more thing. In the summer of 2020, Kelsey Grammer's eldest daughter, Spencer Grammer, who stars in the popular Rick and Morty show, was walking through the East Village of New York City when a fight between an outdoor restaurant patron and a drunk weirdo passing by, a homeless guy, broke out. Spencer, Kelsey's daughter, she tried to break it up and had her hand slashed by a knife for her trouble. The drunk weirdo took off and was never arrested. Spencer's median nerve and two tendons were severed in the attack, maiming her badly. She later shared a sweet story of her 11-year-old child having to tie her shoes for her for quite some time. And this reminds me of a quick story I heard Spencer's father, Kelsey Grammer, tell about how he felt following the death of his sister and what he would do in those days and weeks and months. Kelsey Grammer would walk around New York City at night in shady areas and down alleyways looking for trouble. He just wanted a reason to hurt someone bad out there or be hurt himself. He didn't care. But nothing ever happened to him. It was as if the, you know, shady characters in the alleyways and on the streets knew, he'd later say. Or he felt as well it could have been that someone was watching over him, perhaps his sister, keeping him safe. And it's crazy that his daughter would find this trouble that Kelsey Grammer was looking for by accident decades later in the same place. This whole story of Kelsey Grammer, the dark happenings around it, it's nuts. It's bananas. It wrapped me up for weeks. Like I said in the beginning, I wasn't sure if I was even going to release this episode, but I am because I'm in so deep with it at this point. It's bananas, it's nuts, or should I say it's all tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And that'll do it. So much with this case. There were some psychic readings, you know, Long Island Medium. I always thought that show was a joke. I still kind of do. I am a believer in psychics. I mean, some. I know there's a lot of bullshit going on out there. But she did a psychic reading, the Long Island Medium, on Kelsey Grammer. I think this was in 2015, with his wife beside him, who he's still with. And she talked about them losing one of their twins. And she talked about how they'd lost three. A boy and two girls, I think it was. But the boy had survived. The boy was with his sister, she said. And to Kelsey Grammer, this mirrored his relationship with his sister. He felt like he shouldn't have been a survivor. He had a lot of survivor's guilt here. And in the case of his little boy that never came to be and his daughter surviving the birth, of these two twins being split apart by the death of the boy, Kelsey felt his son was there for his sister. And in the reading, that's what the Long Island Medium said. And, you know, this stuff could totally be bullshit. I mean, you can look up Kelsey Grammer before you get in there and you find anything you want. Definitely. But it was very touching. And if you want to check it out, I have the link to that psychic reading, so-called psychic reading, in the show notes. One thing that really threw me off about that psychic reading was that she said to Kelsey Grammer, who was like in his 60s at the time, your mother died. Can you imagine saying to like a 70-year-old man, your mother died? He's like, yeah, well, yeah, fuck, of course she did. Your grandmother passed, I sense. But Kelsey Grammer really hit me in the heart when he heard her talking about his unborn son, the twin to his daughter who survived, and he was muttering to himself, poor little boy, my beautiful boy. And Jesus Christ, it made me choke up right there. It made me go onward, really it did, with this episode. You just never know what someone's been through. or where they're coming from. Kelsey Grammer is a great example of that. I like how he meets a lot of what he's done, you know, face forward, takes it right in the face. And I was especially impressed with how he was able to find great success despite the tragedies that we talked about here that could have turned him into a hopeless drunk, passed out in the alley behind a bar not named Cheers. Any bar, anywhere. I got to do some tier 25 shoutouts from Patreon. Rudy Newbie. I don't know if you're a newbie anymore, Rudy. It's been a while since you signed up, and it's been a while for me to get to you, but thank you, Rudy. Rowdy Rudy Newbie. Curtis Bowell. Hey, man. I ain't shitting on you, but that's a fucked up last name. Daryl McDonald. Hey, old Daryl McDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. That wasn't very good. So, if you want additional content, check out Patreon, check out Apple Plus. I'm back weekly, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you next week. There's no need for a long, drawn-out back end to this episode. I just want to get out of here and get to bed. I will see you all soon. Ice Cock Doors Lock, stay paranoid, talk at you soon, and I'll have news about the store that we're developing, myself and Dead Rick. There'll be merch shortly. Thanks, everybody. Ice Cock Doors Lock, stay paranoid. They're calling again. Boom. Bam, bam. Good night, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.